The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
You know, I don't know about you, but this has been a kind of confusing year. We start off bad, then we get good. Today, I don't know what's going to happen. The board seems to be warm, but I'm not too sure the market will hold up today. But we kind of need some clarification of what's going on. And in doing that, we thought we'd ask really one of our favorite guests and a man that we all respect. He's very respected on Wall Street, Mr. Jack Ablin. Jack is Executive Vice President, Chief Investment Officer with BMO Private Bank. At the bank, he is the head of macro strategy. He chairs the asset allocation, the mutual fund reoptimization, and the Harris Green Stock Selection Committee. So he's a very busy man, but he's taking a little time out today to be with us. And so we are very, very grateful to have Mr. Jack Ablin with us today. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Real good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Well, in fact, in your recent comments on January 5th, you actually start out by talking about the economy and how it's kind of odd. We seem to be diverging, as you say. It looks like that we've been the prettiest girl to dance for a long time, but it looks like we're getting prettier and everybody else is really getting ugly. What's going on out there? Why is the world? I saw an article, I saw a headline this morning, for instance, said Canada was in trouble. I saw another headline that said that UK manufacturing had fallen off much more than expected. What's going on out there?
Yeah, it seems as though the, the translation of Fed policy, so we went to zero interest rates and injected about $4.5 trillion of monetary policy into our system. And that has gone a long way to inflate asset values, housing and stock prices. And then that is starting to translate into stronger confidence and increased spending. I mean, the third quarter, was astounding to me. We grew at over 5%, largely on consumer spending and business spending. So, the original plan that Bernanke laid out when he embarked on QE is starting to play out, which is great. European Central Bank trying to do the same thing. They don't have the same level of authority that the Fed has. Japan also throwing roughly three times the monetary firepower at its economy relative to ours, but then they come back and start raising sales taxes and restraining on the other side. So I think we were able to kind of thread that needle, and now it looks like we're in an environment similar to the mid to late 90s, where everyone's plowing their funds worldwide into the U.S.
Mid 90s sounds good to me. Late 90s, is a little concerned because I remember what happened after 99, 2000, 2001 were not a good year. Are we forming another bubble? Are we beginning to form that same type of environment?
Sure, we're getting there. I would say we're in probably the 1997-98 period right now.
Okay.
Where we had, we had 97-98, oil, just like now, was cut in half. Instead of going from 107 to 50-something or whatever it was, it went from like 24 to 10. But then we started a rally here, our economy, and the dollar advanced. So we're nearly, I'm going to say, three quarters of the way through that dollar advance that we had in the late 90s. We've also are creating a effervescent market, if not a bubble yet. We're still probably 20 to 30% below where we were at the peak in 2000. So we're an expensive market, but if the trends play out, it could go even more expensive if history repeats itself.
Then
there are these side effects. I mean, the fact is, back in 98, Russia defaulted, Venezuela defaulted, we had some currency crises in the emerging world. I will say, it's entirely possible Russia could default again. I mean, the currency is off maybe 40%. Back in the 98, it was off 70%. But who knows?
Yeah, in fact, there was an article, interview with Jim O'Neill, the man who came up with the term BRICS, for instance, and he was actually saying that he thinks there's a good possibility that Brazil and Russia will actually fall out of the. I don't know whether exactly what it is to fall out of, but he says that I guess what he's saying is that things are so bad in both of those countries with I think Brazil's growth is estimated to be 1% this year. They're looking for contraction in Russia of about -1.8. He says, you know, that they're really kind of falling out of the emerging market category, and they're really more into a submerging market category. Do you agree? Are things going to continue to be rough in those areas?
I do. I think that, the emerging world in terms of emerging markets valuation relative to the U.S. is as cheap as I've seen since roughly 2001, 2002. Back in those days, as is now, valuations are trading at a 50% discount to the U.S. Now, back in 2001, or I'll say starting in 2002, between 2002 and 2012, the emerging markets outperformed the S&P by 150 percentage points. So I'm not saying we're necessarily setting up for that, but I will say if we can sort of clean house in the emerging world, and that maybe start, you know, less focus on commodity producers, more focus on commodity consumers, I think that that could be a very interesting play to, shift once we get some traction there.
All right. And so, and you were talking about, you know, all the money's coming in over here, but in your outlook, you put there that I was really interested in. You said U.S. pricing power is stagnating despite nearly $4 trillion of quantitative easing, and you said their preferred measure of inflation, the Fed's preferred measure of inflation, has fallen short of its 2% target for 30 consecutive months. Do we run the risk here of going into deflation? Because the D word, and I've been in the business for 40 years, and so I've had to fight inflation, but I've never really had to fight deflation. And I understand that France is in deflation. They say Spain's in deflation. There's some question whether or not Greece is in deflation. But they're starting to use the D word. And from what I understood from my graduate work, deflation is a lot worse than inflation. Is it possible that we're beginning to slip into that over here?
It's possible. We're certainly fighting those headwinds, and I think there are a couple of advantages that we have over, say, Japan and over Europe. But if you look at, for example, the percentage of the population over 65 is kind of a proxy for, you know, demographics, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, Japan is nearly, I'm going to say as of the end of 2012, that's the latest data that I was able to look at, it's just under 25%. I think it was like 23.5%. My sense is it's probably pushing 25% now.
Right.
So that's, you know, and what I'm saying is I have nothing against old people, but generally old people retire. And they're not, they're no longer contributing to the economy. And the dependency ratio, the percentage of people working for those retired, starts to diminish. And that's a problem. In Europe, I think that number is closer to, nearly 20%. And here it's in the mid-teens.
In the mid-teens, right, man. But populations are getting older worldwide. Jack, stay with us. When we come back, we've got a couple other questions to ask you. So stay with us, folks. We're with Jack Ablin today, Executive Vice President, Chief Investment Officer at BMO Private Bank. We'll be back to you in just a moment.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Got with us today, Jack Ablin. Jack is Executive Vice President, Chief Investment Officer with BMO Private Bank. Jack, I might as well go straight to that. What is your prediction for the market this year? Up, down, sideways?
I'm not expecting too much activity. It's a cop out of an answer. What I've said is that I expect single digits this year. Okay. I just don't know if it's going to be positive or negative.
Oh, so, really? So you think it could be negative? Okay.
Well, it could be negative. It could, depending on how the the our trading partners' paths of their economy play out, you know, or if we get some kind of a blowback from these low oil prices in certain countries. So, yeah, I would say if, you know, if we did have a Russian default and that started to trickle into parts of Europe, that could be problematic for the markets.
I tell you, even considering that kind of puts you in a minority, to be honest with you. I think everybody, I've been looking at the Wall Street prognostications, all of which come out this time of year. I find them a little overly optimistic. Now, nobody's really looking for, I think, for a tremendous year, but boy, nobody seems to be looking for a bad one either. And that always concerns me a little bit when at least, you know, when not enough people out there thinking, well, may not be so good.
Anyway, right. I think the difference is, you know, my clients like to make money when there's an opportunity to make money. They
right.
just don't want to lose. And so we're pretty defensive. We'll go to cash. I mean, we're always on the lookout for anything that could create, you know, problems in our clients' portfolios.
And I think that's the best way to play it. I mean, I'll tell you what, digging out of a hole is really tough. It really is. In fact, you were saying, we were talking during the break and we were talking about the dollar. And a lot of concern about the dollar's strength. But I think you said something that the dollar actually had a – how much did it fall during
– it fell between 1999 and 2012 or so. It fell by 35% relative to most of our trading partners. So, you know, if you remember, the euro back in 1999 was 99 cents. So, you know, the fact that it's, you know, 117 is certainly gone a long way. I mean, it was up as high as nearly 140, so it has come back, but – it's still, you know, I could see euro at 111, 110.
Yeah, I can too. Yeah, and you know, the dollar strength. The dollar strength will eventually hurt us, will it not?
Yeah, and that's really what happened in, you know, that late 90s, early 2000s period. I think the difference, and part of the reason why we did get that extra 20% boost in the 1999-2000 period that we probably won't get this time around was because, if you remember Y2K, Chairman Greenspan was so petrified of that all of our computer systems would break when we went to Y2K that he ended up providing a lot of stimulus, a lot of liquidity in the end of 99 that ended up fueling what, you know, turned out to be part of the last vestiges of that tech bubble. We're not going to have that this time around, although obviously we're still very stimulative Fed policy right now.
Right. So we were talking about, everybody's been talking about oil. And interestingly enough, demand for gasoline is surging here in the United States, which is no surprise. But what do you think of oil? As you look out, do you look for a recovery in oil this year? If so, do you have a guess of where you think it might end up by the end of the year, or do you think we're going to continue to be down in the $50 range for a while?
Well, I'm no oil expert. I think your listeners are probably more attuned to oil than I am, but I will say I track the energy equivalency of natural gas and crude, and I will say that from 96 to 2006, maybe even 2007, crude oil and natural gas traded on a BTU equivalent basis. And then in 2007, when crude got to $140 plus a barrel, the natural gas equivalent was about $80 a barrel. But I will say when it dropped down to 40, it dropped right to that natural gas equivalency of 40. So where's natural gas trading right now? About 20. And so, you know, if I were to, you know, again, I'm not an oil expert, but if I track this chart and if this model were to hold true, we could see oil bounce off 20.
Wow. Holy cow. That put a lot of people out of business in Texas and Oklahoma. Holy cow.
Yeah, so, you got North Dakota's unemployment rate at 2.8 or something like that. You know, they're the second largest producers.
Yeah, speaking of that, in the jobs report this morning, the official unemployment rate dropped from 5.8 to 5.6% this morning, which seems to have surprised everybody. I think they were looking for maybe 5.7. Is it just because people are just leaving the jobs race and just say, I'm just not looking anymore? Is that what's driving down this unemployment?
I mean, that's part of it. I haven't had a chance to dig through today's numbers, so I can't comment about this latest drop. But that, of course, is, obviously the denominator of that equation is the number of people looking for work, employed and looking for work. And if you're not looking for work anymore and you're not employed, then you're not part of that equation. And so for that reason, that unemployment rate could come down.
Okay, what's your prediction for interest rates this year? Charles Evans came out yesterday. It's Tuesday. I'm sorry. Charles Evans came out on Tuesday, the Chicago Fed president, and indicated that he's even thinking that they don't even need to raise rates till 2016. So he's the first one to move the puck a little farther out. Do you have any predictions or thoughts about interest rates this year?
Sure. Keep in mind, Charles Evans is also on record saying that he wished that, that the inflation rate was 5%, not 2. So he is one of the more dovish Fed presidents, which is right. He's from my hometown of Chicago. But I will say, I think the Fed really does try to, get some interest rates behind them. They do want to raise rates, even if it's just more of a significant move just a symbolic, I should say, move, if anything else. But the problem is, if the fear is that if we do end up rolling over and the economy needs help, we pretty much expended all of our monetary policy. And I think there's part of them really wants to get some dry powder back in their muskets if they can.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I do. And these low rates are crushing retirees. I mean, and it's causing people to take risks that they normally would not take. It's rough out there. Listen, Jack, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your expertise. We really appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you at the Money Show this spring in Orlando.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.